This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
And now back to
The Rich Eisen Show.
Now.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show.
He can't quit us. And we can't quit you either.
Earlier on the show, Lions defensive end Aiden Hutchinson. Coming up, comedian Nick Swardson. Host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Overreaction Monday and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Everyone's favorite sheep shepherd, Nick Swardson, is in our green room. We'll just go with it reference for everybody out there. One of our favorites, diehard Vikings fan. He's going to be coming out here shortly. Don't miss it. It'll be a lot of fun. It always is when Nick Swardson stops by here. He's got a new YouTube special, Make Joke From Face. And it's available right now on YouTube.
Name has me laughing.
Yeah. Everything he does just makes you laugh. So it'll be great when he joins us, and we'll get him out here. There's no reason to keep him back there for much longer. Certainly when he's ready to go. Mike Florio in hour number three on the program. Chris Brockman in his spot. And there is Jay Felly in his spot. And TJ Jefferson. Good to see you, sir. In your spot.
It's good to be seen.
I love that. So let's talk about not being seen. Aaron Rodgers was not seen at the Jets mandatory mini camp back in June. And to say that created a kerfuffle is an understatement.
I like that word.
A kerfuffle. Much to do. A big stink. A lot going on. A lot of screaming headlines in New York City. The guy who said anything that has nothing to do with winning, all that BS, needs to be out of the building. And he's not in the building when it's mandatory for him to be there. Even though he'd been to pretty much, not pretty much, and not virtually, he had been to everything else when it wasn't mandatory. And Robert Saleh called his absence unexcused, which is what raised this to the level of being discussed. And we were wondering when we would hear from him to explain, if asked, where he was and why he wasn't there and what does he think of the coach calling something unexcused. And I thought we would not hear from him until he showed up at the American Century Championship Golf Tournament in Lake Tahoe a couple of weeks ago. Or was that last week? It was last week, right?
It was last weekend.
Okay. Yeah. 2 weekends ago. They all meld together.
Yeah.
That's right. And so, as a matter of fact, the big news that he said while he was there is he kind of threw an Aaron bomb in the direction of Las Vegas, talking about how he can't wait to play with, he'd love to play with Davante Adams again, or he can't wait or whatever. And I was like, does that mean he really wants to be traded from,
or was he just talking about golf?
Vegas? Like, okay. And no, I don't think he's talking about golf. And then receiver came out, and he, not on the proverbial Christmas card list of the Garoppolo family anymore, if he was any, anyway.
Aww.
But, you know, his representation came out and said he's a Raider and there's nothing to see here. And in the same way that Brandon Ayuk is going to be a 49er this year, because why would the 49ers trade him away for just draft choices when they have a team to win the Super Bowl this year? The time to trade Brandon Ayuk for draft choices was the night of the first round of the NFL draft in Detroit, that they left with a rookie wide receiver anyway. Although Ricky Pearsall's on a non-football injury list at present. Talk to Mike Florio about all that in hour number three. But we bring all this up because Rogers did also mention at the American Century Classic, although it might not have been on camera. I didn't see it. The soundbite where he said, as a matter of fact, all the rumors that where he was at the time is he was in Egypt on a once-in-a-lifetime trip. And we're assuming trip does not just also mean
a trip.
What you and I might call a trip.
Not mentally.
A vacation.
Yeah.
It might have involved, you know, his methodology of expanding his mind and getting his mind straight to try and win a Super Bowl for the New York Jets as a crying fan that he encountered in Tahoe was begging him to bring. Long story short, though, we hadn't heard from him about the jet portion of it. The why would you call it an unexcused absence? And we hadn't heard the whole concept of what he thought about the media to-do that came about it. Because to me, that's the only long-lasting issue for this, is the media set-to that occurred that will happen again later this week when Jets training camp starts Wednesday, and I think he reports tomorrow. And so that will happen. You know, the New York media will have a session with Rodgers, and we'll see if it gets contentious or not. And how Rodgers would handle anybody that is trying to call him out for not being the leader that he voiced when he said everything that has nothing to do with winning needs to get the, you know, get the heck out of the building. And that's my only thing, is that later on this season, that sort of back and forth with the media now might grind a gear later on the season if things aren't going well. Which, if you take a look at the Jets, you know, schedule, there's a possibility of it. Rodgers appeared on Pardon My Take. I guess he sat with PFT and Big Cat.
And while they were in Tahoe.
In Tahoe.
Yeah.
And they posted it today. This was the exchange that's making news about Rodgers not showing up for a mini camp that's mandatory.
When I was in the NFC North and playing for that team years ago, there used to be a real thing called mini camp where it was you had one of them usually. Sometimes it was right after the draft, but either way, it was five practices in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So two practices on Friday, two on Saturday, one on Sunday. Now it's not mini camp. They can arbitrarily put a tag on whatever week of OTAs they want. Say, this is the mini camp week, which makes it somehow more mandatory than the other weeks. But it was an OTA schedule. That's how it's, you know, how words can be a little deceiving from time to time. You can make a story out of the fact that I missed a mini camp when it was really two OTA days.
Right. Interesting.
That came to the first 10.
So, right. So this is a media thing.
And Rodgers, for the radio audience, sort of just extended his arms like a media thing. And
he's not entirely wrong.
By the way, I don't think what he said is wrong or factually incorrect at all about the way things go. And that's why I always wondered if the Jets knew that he had an experience in Egypt that was for that week, for as long as Rodgers had previously said they had known or was reported for the Jets to have known, then just tag the previous week where Rodgers was going to be there as the mandatory week and let the final 2 days of mini camp, which he points out is still like a laid back version of mini camp, organized team activities, then let that be the days where he can go off to Egypt. And if he's not there, then there's no worse to wear. But if he is saying, I need to take a trip to Egypt to get my mind right, or this is something that I've, you know, when I was recovering from my Achilles surgery, I saw that it was happening in that month of June, and I booked it right then and there to make sure I could get a spot. And that's why I want to go on this to get my mind right. Then, and the Jets either didn't want to or couldn't or whatever move the mandatory tag to off of that week, then I also understand why Robert Saleh's got to come out and say this is unexcused, because how many other players are going to maybe say, I'm doing something for myself here, and it's been in months in advance.
The whole thing is weird.
Well, it's weird because it was avoidable.
Right. They made so many concessions for this guy.
Avoidable.
So, like, just what's one more? To avoid everybody's, face.
Right. Like, this would have been a much smaller version of what the Lakers did by potentially drafting Bronny for LeBron. Yeah. You're helping make employee number one a lot happier in his dotage years in the remaining window of chance for you and the franchise to win it all together.
Weird. So avoidable.
But, they could have also said the week before, like, hey, next week's mandatory, but Rodgers won't be here. He's doing his thing. And then a bunch of other players are like, yeah, we don't need him here anyway. We're good. Terod needed to get his reps. They didn't tell Terod Taylor he's getting the reps with the ones until that day. Yeah. It just was so weird.
Well, what would you put the chances at that this was just like a Saleh power play or something?
Oh,
like,
zero. Hey,
like 12's not running the organization.
What's the power play? No, first of all, he's 8 now. But yes, I understand what you're saying. Dude, the eggs are completely in the Rodgers basket.
I know, but there's a
entirely in the Rodgers basket.
Again, assumption that Rodgers is running the whole organization.
Well, and maybe he is, and there's a reason why. Because they put all their eggs in Aaron Rodgers' basket. And the only difference between this year and last year is they have a much better backup plan if the basket blows a gasket. Terod Taylor can get them some victories that I don't think Zach Wilson was equipped to get them last year. Exactly. Well, can he get him to the Super Bowl? I mean, that would be a story of the century, but I'm sure Jets fans don't want to talk about that right now. You know what I mean? Like, right. Again, to me, end of the day, when we had Aiden Hutchinson on in hour one, we were talking about the first Sunday night of the season. Lions, Rams, a day after Texas at Michigan, Longhorns v. Wolverines. What a weekend that's going to be. The football weekend ends that Monday night with the Jets in San Francisco. And when Rodgers is, hopefully for him, healthy and in that tunnel in his native Northern California, is he going to be sitting here thinking, man, I can't believe they said it was an unexcused absence in June? Of course not. He's going to be fired up, as will the Jets, as will that crowd, as well, the Niners faithful. It's going to be lit. That's why they're putting the game on Monday night again on ABC. And, you could call the rest of that first month of the season soft on the schedule, although you know how I feel about Tennessee. At Tennessee, that's a short week. Coming back from the West Coast, they're going to have to get to Tennessee for that game. It's the Titans' home opener. That's not going to be a gimme. Then there's the Patriots short week right after that with Denver. Listen, bottom line is throughout that first game going into San Francisco, will that matter? Of course not. But what might matter is the back and forth with the media right now, because, New York media, Rodgers essentially didn't really have to deal with them last year. He was going to the Tony Awards and Hard Knocks was a big kiss on the cheek, and then poof, his value proven by the Jets' disastrous season. Now this is the first sideways moment, and the question is, how does it spin when they chat this week, and how does that set the stage for New York media that might be ready to pounce if that first month of the season winds up, 2-2, 1-3? Before they go to London to take on Minnesota on NFL Network, where they might see Sam Darnold again. How about that? That's the question. But hearing today, he's right. The dude was there for everything else. And why didn't the Jets just flip what was mandatory. I don't know. I don't know. We'll probably never know, because this won't be a story in week one. I'll tell you that. Not for that Monday night. You imagine Rodgers right before the game? Hey, Aaron, what's going through your head? Well,
yeah, jeez.
That June thing when I was in Egypt, I had to hear about this when I came off the ayahuasca.
Unexcused? I mean,
all those messages on my phone? No. Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before we do, I'm just want to let everyone know that I'm on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by, as Nick Swartzen is about to do his new YouTube special, Make Joke from Face. A clip from that coming up on the Roku channel. Then after that, a nice chat on the radio with him. We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of different sounds that you might hear. Drive too fast, and you could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing. The sound of ambulances and first responders desperately trying to free you from the wreckage. You could hear the beeps of a heart monitor. You could hear doctors and nurses in an emergency room as you're being treated for your injuries. You could hear the sound of worried family members in the hospital waiting room, hoping to hear that you're okay. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral. Because if you drive over the speed limit, whether by a lot or by a little, you could do damage that's beyond repair. You could seriously injure yourself, or worse, you could hurt and even kill someone else. When you speed, you put everyone on the road in danger. One way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA. Hey, everybody, this just in. It's summertime. It's time to go and do all those summer things, like going to a baseball game during the summer. I'm about to do exactly that, and I know exactly what to do, and you should too. You should go look forward to making new memories this year by going to a ball game using Game Time, the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch, so you can wait to buy your tickets with killer last-minute deals. The all-in prices feature, you get to see how much everything is before you purchase. Views from your seat, you know exactly where you're getting your seat, and the view of the field from it. Their lowest price guarantee, of course, that's Game Time. Takes the guesswork completely out of buying MLB tickets. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here on the Roku channel. Look who's here, everybody. It's Nick Swartzen, everybody. How's that for an introduction?
America's sweetheart.
Yeah. Make joke from face.
So
I can't
stupid.
Say that enough. Make joke from face, the new comedy special of yours, Nick Swartzen, available now on YouTube in conjunction with 800-pound gorilla.
Yep, make joke from face. And then my new tour, Toilet Head. This fall.
Is that what it's named?
I swear to God. It's called Toilet Head. I clearly don't care. Like, I don't take anything seriously. So I just name things whatever. My first hour special was Seriously Who Farted. That's what it was called.
Which is a rhetorical question, right? Like, there's no answer.
Yeah, it could mean anything. And let me just get this out of the way.
Yes, sir.
Josh Duhamel.
Oh. Hold on a second. Wait, our radio audience is about to return. Let's get the whole Josh Duhamel thing right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I've got Nick Swartzen here. Our radio audience has returned right here on the Roku channel. We're all one big happy feed. We just saw a great YouTube special clip from Make Joke from Face of Nick Swartzen right here on the Rich Eisen Show. That's my next. That's the last time I introduce you. I promise you.
Okay.
You were just about to say you have the floor here. So go for it.
Josh Duhamel. That ugly actor.
He's a fellow Viking fan.
Yes, but he's from North Dakota. So there's an online thing where he's the number one Vikings fan.
What?
Yeah. No. Not on my watch. I'm Nick Swartzen from St. Paul, Minnesota. I am the number one. Josh is from Fargo.
What does that mean to you?
That means that I'm angry, which I'm not happy about. These online polls saying he's the number one.
Were you at least two?
I was two.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll take that. But, yeah.
Who else is up there? Who else would be top five?
I don't know. Actually, I don't know who would be three.
Because Ragnar has been off the motorcycle a while. We haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
Who else?
I swear to God, I don't know. Maybe.
So this
Prince's
is a two-man
ghost.
Race.
Prince's ghost.
Prince's ghost. The ghost of Prince.
Yep, the ghost of Prince right. is third.
Kilby.
Kilborn, that's right.
Oh, Kilby, yeah.
Kilby.
Kilby. Yeah. Are you looking Kilborn's up famous ghost. Vikings fans,
yeah,
Chris?
I am. That's I literally typed in celebrity Viking fans.
So...
Oh, yeah, Kilby. I forgot about
it. Why would Dumel...
He's a number one Timberwolves fan. I know that.
That's true.
He's a diehard fan.
More than you?
He's more than me, yeah. I mean, I'm a big Timberwolves fan. It was gut-wrenching when we lost. It was just gut-wrenching.
But you got to love Anthony Edwards. It's like, that's the win.
It's exciting. Let's see how this plays out. But Minnesota sports is like, here's what I hate. Is I hate other fan bases that have multiple championships and complain about their team. So like Cowboys fans, Patriot fans, where they're like, Patriot fans, another season didn't go good. It's like, you have 1,000 rings. Like, as a Minnesota fan, we have nothing.
Well, I mean,
don't even have rings. Can I say that?
So, you can't blame Cowboy fans for being upset, though. It's been 30 years.
They have multiple rings.
It's coming up on 30 years, though. Those rings are a bit.
They're a little rusty?
Yeah, they're a little rusty.
Yeah, but they exist.
That's my argument, Nick.
Like, exactly.
That's a Cowboy fan right there.
How long it's been since the Cowboys have won, but I'm like, yeah, at least in my lifetime I've seen a championship. There are teams Nick has never gotten that, and that's
yeah. But it's like, I'm on board with Browns fans, Lions fans. Like, we're all in this same, like,
come on.
Group of just sadness.
Yeah?
Just anger and sadness.
It's been a while, huh? Do you need a hug?
It's been a... Yeah. And then I told you earlier, yes, Adam Sandler says hello.
Oh,
our good friend.
I love that guy.
I said I'm doing the Rich Eisen show, and he went, "What is it? What time is it?"
That's like very Leo right there.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounded just like him.
Yeah, totally.
When did you meet Sandler? When did you first meet him, man?
He was a fan of my stand-up. Make joke from face on YouTube right now. Yeah, he was a fan of my stand-up. He saw me on Comedy Central when I first started when I was a kid.
What, in the 80s, 90s? What one was it?
1890s.
1890s, right.
No, it was like probably 2000.
Okay.
Yeah, and he saw my special, wrote my name down, and went to the office, and he was like, "Who is this kid?" And they're like, "Oh, it's Nick Swartzen, and he's like a new comic." And so he called me in. And he goes, "Hey, you did jokes about your grandmother." And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "I have a movie called Grandma's Boy, and I need somebody to rewrite it." So that's how I started working with Adam. I rewrote Grandma's Boy, and then we made it, and he loved it.
So
we did a bunch of stuff after that.
No, yeah, I should say so.
Good Lord.
How many Sandler films have you been in?
20, at least.
Damn, man.
Yeah. And then I told you, too, we're doing a Happy Gilmore 2.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Very exciting. Happy Gilmore 2.
This is actually happening.
Let's go. We start filming in September in Jersey.
Whoa.
What do you got for me? Anything you can tell me? Have you seen the script?
No, there's no script yet. It's the most Sandler thing ever. We start filming in September. No script. I just know my character is a 1950s golfer. It's like a throwback. I guess I'm going to be in like flashbacks.
So you're going to be in a flashback to what? Is it like Happy?
I think so. I don't know if I can say that.
It's like a Happy's dad or something like that?
I don't know.
So there is a script. You were just joking.
There's no, I swear to God, I have not read a script. I was just with him like 2 days ago.
And so he's still working on it?
He's still writing it, yeah.
Is it him? Who else is working on it with him?
Tim Hurley.
Okay.
Great writer. Uh-huh. They wrote the original Happy Gilmore.
Sure, right.
Yeah, they're great.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, I'm super excited.
Okay. And then the rest of it is like Fight Club, you can't talk about it? Or
I think so, yeah. I don't want Adam getting.
No. I want you still obviously on.
He'll just come through the window like, yeah, what?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, yeah,
me. Are you in his pickup games with him?
Oh yeah, we played hoop a million times.
Okay. And
he'll play basketball wherever, whenever. It's like he'll just show up at a gym just randomly.
Right. Like, there's videos of him and he hoops. He's got game.
Yeah, he's good. He's got a good fallback jumper. And I've got to guard him. And it sucks when you're filming with Adam because he plays basketball nonstop, like during filming.
Yeah.
And then like I've got to guard him. And then I don't want to foul him. And then sometimes he plays dirty. Oh. And I want to retaliate. But I can't.
Absolutely not. You can't.
No, because he's Adam Sandler.
He's the talent.
Yeah, so I don't want to like elbow him in his genitals. Genital uppercut. Sometimes I want to do that, but I don't.
By the way, that's a great new fantasy team name. Genital uppercut. Write that down.
That's pretty good.
That'll be another special of mine.
Yes.
Nick Swartz.
Nick Swartz. That's the genital uppercut.
There you go. You're welcome. Done. We just came up with it.
Yeah.
Or you
God
did.
Bless you.
You're welcome.
No, we both did. This is a collaboration, Rich.
Look at us workshopping.
This is how we do it.
Okay, so Happy Gilmore 2 starts shooting in September.
September, Toilet Head throughout the fall.
As of July 19th, 2 days ago from this taping, no script.
No script.
But the answer is, of course, yes. When Sandler calls you up and says, we gotta have you in.
Well, yeah, you had referenced Just Go With It.
Uh-huh.
And I remember Sandler called me, and I was like in the middle of dinner, and he goes, hey, what's up? Hey, can you do a German accent? And I go, random phone call. I'm like this? Like, I don't know, so go to the bar? And he's like, yeah, perfect, call you tomorrow. I go, what? And he called me the next day. He's like, you, me, Aniston, Hawaii. We're doing a movie. You're playing like a half German dude. And I'm like, okay. Like, I'm on board with anything.
Was that ad-lib, the sheep shipper scene? Or was that all scripted?
It was half and half. There was a lot of ad-libs. But it was, yeah, I mean, that character was amazing. It was so fun. I think it was amazing.
So who's the one who came up with sheep shipper? Was that you or was that in the script?
That was in the script. Yeah, but I came up with, I think, Sheeps D9. So absurd.
How do you say those words sitting next to Jennifer Aniston and Brooklyn Decker? I mean, how does, my God.
It was really tough. And like, we always break, like we laugh so much. So it's like, and my goal, like when I did Reno 911.
Yes.
That was all improvised. So my goal is just to make the other person laugh. So I, you know, like Sandler gives me free range to just say insanity and improvise. So like my goal is just to break people.
Who's the easiest to break?
Sandler.
He is.
Yeah, we laugh a lot. Spade is tricky. He's one that's hard to break. Like we did bench warmers together. We moved on a bunch of stuff, but
yes,
that one I would try to break him and it's really hard.
So he's the toughest to break.
Sandler's
the easiest to break.
Sandler and I can walk into a scene and immediately start laughing and without any dialogue. I'll just, and like he'll attest to this too. We just, it's like anybody, like when you see like a friend where you just are on the same wavelength and you're just like, right when you see him, you're like, no, do not start. Another one was we talked about earlier, yes. My friend Norm MacDonald.
What do you got?
I've got a bunch of stories in my new special, Toilet Head, this fall. But one of my favorite things about Norm, there's a million stories, but I would text Norm and I'd be like, hey, what's up, man? What are you doing? And he would go, what? Who's this? And I go, it's Swartzen. And he goes, ah, Nikki, what's going on? And I go, do you not have my phone number saved in your phone? I'm literally one of your best friends. And he goes, yeah, no, how do you do that? You save the number or what? And I go, yeah, you save it. It's a phone. I'm your friend. He's like, I gotta figure that out, right? I'm like, good God. That's how I was with him all the time. It's just something insane. Like,
he's probably sitting around watching golf. That's pretty much what you do quite a bit.
And then he, one of my favorite things too is he was like, he's a big gambler.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember at the ESPYs when he was hosting that ESPYs, that one famous night. Oh, God, yeah. Where Charles Woodson, they'll never take that away from you unless you kill your wife and a waiter. The Heisman Trophy line, the whole thing. I mean, that is Norm, quintessential Norm. But I just remember Stuart Scott and I were done rehearsing the pre-show, and we walked past the stage door, and Norm popped out to say how much he liked watching us on SportsCenter, and then asked us opinions on what he or who he should be gambling on that night. And we were like, I don't know, like, yeah, sounds good. Like he would give us his opinion of whatever the heck was happening. That was because it was, those were back in February, so like this was right around the NBA All-Star break,
right?
So really wasn't much going on, and he would just ask us about these wild games that we didn't even have any opinion on. And Stuart and I would look at each other and go, I hope we didn't just cost him. But that was funny, man.
Yeah, no, he was amazing. I remember we were in Venice Beach.
Yeah.
And he was betting on turtle racing at a bar.
Oh, at Brennan's.
Yeah, at Brennan's.
Yeah.
And he goes,
what, do you know about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like famous.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, he was putting money on turtles. He's like, yeah, I got that turtle over there. It looks good. I think that turtle, I think it looks quick. Like, good Lord.
He's betting on a turtle with a first quick step. Is what he's saying?
Yeah, that's how he rolled.
Oh, my God.
Which turtle?
Dude. Rest in peace, Norm. We love you. We miss you.
Nick Swartzen here on The Rich Eisen Show. Make Joke from Face. Available now on YouTube, again, in conjunction with 800-pound gorilla. All right, you want to play the win-loss game here on The Rich Eisen Show?
Yep, let's go.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's dance.
Here we go. The win-loss game for the Minnesota Vikings with none other.
By the way, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Did I ever tell you this?
What?
I put $1,000 on the Vikings every year to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, my
man. And I'm out $25,000. That's a true story.
Have you already put the money down for this year?
Yeah.
What are the current odds right now, Christopher?
Stand by.
I mean, 2 years ago, you had to like that, and then Daniel Jones hit you.
I mean, and then we had...
Sorry to bring that up, but...
That's okay.
Vikings, that's all right. Super Bowl right now is 80-1.
80-1?
Yep, done.
Okay.
100%.
Come on, $80,000.
Sam Darnold.
Hey.
Please help us. J.J. McCarthy.
I'll say this to you before we play the win-loss game.
Yes.
Sam Darnold is in the Baker Mayfield position. Where
he's that's a good point.
By the way, first of all, drafted two spots behind Baker, and like Baker on team four, coming off of a year or portion of a year for Baker in the NFC West with a quarterback guru head coach.
Yeah.
And now in a position where a team is playoff ready with a ton of weapons. All he's got to do is just show up and take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. I'm on board.
With the exception of the fact is that unlike Baker, who was ready and able and the team was willing to have him stay there with a generationally enriching contract, certainly, or a contract that is an excellent contract for a quarterback.
Right.
This is J.J. McCarthy's show at some point.
Yeah.
He just signed, actually, this past weekend. That's my guy.
Is that true?
Oh, you're so psyched. You're going to be happy. But
I'm excited.
You should be.
I'm optimistic.
Okay.
Always.
From the chair Justin Jefferson was sitting in just 2 weeks ago.
Is that true?
Fact. It's time for the win-loss game with Nick Swartzen for his diehard, loving Minnesota Vikings. Hit it. Here's some music. Starting at the New York Giants, Sam Darnold back in MetLife Stadium. What do you got for me?
What do you mean?
Win or loss?
Win.
Okay. Home for the San Francisco 49ers.
Win.
Home for the Houston Texans.
Win.
At the Green Bay Packers.
Win.
In London against the Jets.
Win.
5-0 coming off the bye, home for the Lions.
Win.
6-0 at the Rams on a Thursday night.
Win.
You going to that game?
Yes, 100%.
Okay, just want to make sure you could say something other than the word win right now. 7-0 home for the Colts.
Win.
8-0 at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Loss. Yeah, I'll say it.
That was an O. Henry-like plot twist.
Yep.
All right. 8-1 at the Titans.
When?
9-1 at the Bears.
When?
Well, you said that with conviction. 10-1 home for the Cardinals.
When?
11-1 home for the Falcons.
When?
12-1 home for the Bears on a Monday night.
Hard win.
Hard win.
Rock hard win.
13-1 at the Seahawks.
Win.
14-1 home for the Packers.
Win. Fully erect win.
15-1 at the Lions.
Loss.
Okay. Why? Because you're resting starters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're tired from winning.
15-2, Nick
we're
Swartzen.
We're exhausted from winning.
Nick Swartzen.
$1,000 Super Bowl.
So clearly 15-2, you're the one seed going into the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, we're gonna smoke.
That's a bye week. You're off. And yeah. then two wins, you're in the Super Bowl, and you do you want to predict who the Vikings beat in the Super Bowl then?
I think we beat the Las Vegas Aces.
Yeah. Asia Wilson is tough, bro.
I'm going to stand by that.
Asia Wilson and Kelsey.
The Las Vegas Aces. Yep. Now, that would be quite a Super Bowl matchup.
Yep, I'm standing by it. You heard it here first.
Hey.
What are the odds on that?
Well, Mark Davis would be there either way.
That's got to be.
Okay.
8 billion to 1 if that happens.
Yeah, do you want to look up the odds of a Vikings Las Vegas Aces matchup in this? Fantastic.
It's going to be a lot of money. I'm going to make a lot of money.
Man. All right, before I let you go, do you got a good grown-ups story, set story that you can tell?
Yeah, grown-ups too.
Okay. Whichever one.
Let me think. Yeah, that was a blast because it was, you know, all of us together. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, all those guys. I remember I was on-set producer.
Mm-hmm.
And I would pitch jokes to Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then he never used any of them.
Never
so,
once.
You know, I would be like, I go, hey, man, what if you said this? And he'd be like, yeah, all right. And then he would never say it.
So he would let you down nicely.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was like, God damn, it's hard to write jokes for, you know, somebody like that. And then I remember Selma Hayek got mad at me.
Why?
Because she goes, Nick, Nick. And I go, what? She goes, you don't write any jokes for me. I want jokes. And I'm like, no, you've got to be like you're like the straight person. You know what I mean? Like everybody else are idiots. So like you're grounding everything. You know what I mean? Yes. So it's like, if you're jokey, it doesn't work. Like you've got to be like the straight person. And she's like, ah, I get it. And I'm like, yeah, just trust me. Yeah. And she was very sweet.
What? How much did it take for the fiber of your being to not please Salma Hayek and give her what she wants? I mean, how?
It was so many fibers. It was a Bed Bath and Beyond of fibers.
Can you imagine the Salma Hayek saying, please do something for me, and you're you like, go, yes. I can't, for my professionalism demands that I cannot give you what you want.
Right? I know what I'm doing. I know how to produce comedy.
But she got it.
Yeah.
She understood.
She nailed it. She's great.
Okay.
She's brilliant. Yeah. Make joke from face. Toilet head.
Make joke. Okay. So
NickSwartzen.net.
Okay. Let's do this. Make joke from face. Available now on YouTube in conjunction with 800 Pound Gorilla.
Yes.
Your new comedy tour, Toilet Head.
That's so absurd.
Well, that's in advance of Genital Uppercut.
Yes.
Right? That's the Absolutely. Next one.
Yeah. You 25 Genital Uppercut.
It's launching this September. Visit NickSwartzen.net for tickets.
Yes, please.
And then, does this start before you're shooting Happy Gilmore too?
It's synonymous, same time.
Right. So you're going to be going back.
It's going to be, a little stressful.
All right, but it's okay.
It's fine. It'll
you
be
can
great.
Handle it.
Oh, yeah.
You can handle
Not
it.
Not my first rodeo.
Okay. So you're playing like a Sam Snead type guy? You got like the gear, like the 50s gear? Like
yeah, I guess so. I got to grow my hair out and slick it back. So okay. I'm like, kind of like a greaser vibe, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope that doesn't spoil anything.
I don't know. You could, you know, those guys.
Oh, you!
Sorry,
Adam.
I love it. Just guttural noises is a great Adam Sandler imitation.
That's my fourth special, guttural noises.
I mean, Christopher McDonald, though, he broke the news that they were doing the movie before it was announced.
Yes.
I don't think he was really supposed to do that either.
I got yelled at because I did the same thing.
You did?
Yeah, I announced it, and then I got like an email from my agent. Was like, what? Whoa, man! And I'm like, what? Adam called me.
Yeah, it's out of the bag.
He's like, it's not greenlit yet. I'm like, yeah, it's greenlit. It's Happy Gilmore 2.
All right, so then let me ask
you
this.
Who's red lighting that?
Let me ask you this question. Who's red lighting, right? Let me ask you this question. How many people from the original are back? Do you know the answer to that question?
I just know me and Shooter McGavin.
Yeah, Chris McDonald's coming back.
Yeah.
He told a great story when he was here because they shot at a Botanical Garden for the first movie. And okay. he had to make the final putt. Like they kind of mowed a Botanical Garden lawn. So it really wasn't like it was probably like what? Like a 4 on the stimp meter or something like that. Very slow, yeah. And he said that the crew was betting against that he could make the putt.
Oh, wow.
And use that as sort of an inspiration to just jam it back in everybody's face, made the putt, and that's when he came up with the shooter.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yes, he sold that story.
That's amazing. See, he's awesome, by the way.
Okay.
I love that meme that's out there. That's him and Tiger Woods in a photo, and it says, the best golfer in the world and Tiger Woods.
It is amazing what that movie, my kids cannot get enough of it. Currently.
Yeah, it's amazing.
15, 13, and 10. They love.
Dude, I can watch that all movie. That. Billy Madison, yeah. Wedding Singer.
All of it.
Waterboy. Yeah, it's amazing.
For sure. Good to see you, Nick Swartzen.
Rich, thanks for having me. Always. I love you very much. Rock it like it's hot.
That's right.
Bam. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, TJ feels the same way as you, that it's been too long for rings and we got to get one. Mm-hmm. And you just have a 15-2 season in the books. Congratulations.
15-2 season, 80-1 odds. So I just made $80,000.
You did.
Just sitting here.
Just like that.
Double or nothing against the Las Vegas Aces.
Yep. And that's going to be
in
a
New Orleans.
Payday.
That is going to be great.
I love you, Rich.
Right back at you. At Nick Swartzen, both on Twitter, and at Real Nick Swartzen on Instagram. NickSwartzen.net for the Toilet Head Tour. Tickets and event, again, Make Joke From Face available right now on YouTube with Nick Swartzen. Back with more, getting ready for Mike Florio, Hour 3, to really dig into the NFL training camp season coming up. Rich Eisen here for Sleep Number. They say opposites attract, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is the best bed for couples. I can confirm exactly that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. You can choose what's right for you whenever you like. If you like a bed that feels firm but they want soft, Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm. Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's perfect for both of you only at a Sleep Number store. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
It's kickoff time, and Believe Podcasts are here to get you ready for the season.
He wanted to change the culture, and he wanted me to be a part of that.
With Believe, you get immediate reactions, game previews, and expert analysis from all 32 teams, plus all of your favorite college teams.
He's just rare in just about everything he does.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
This was good for everybody.
Just search Believe. That's B-L-E-A-V podcast, wherever you listen.
Then I went to Frederick, Maryland.
Okay.
Frederick Keys,
Maryland.
And they made these bobbleheads, of which this is one of...
Oh, my God, a Shooter McGavin bobblehead.
Shooter McGavin bobblehead.
Yes. Ah.
So...
Guys, awesome. Yeah, here it is.
Amazing. There it is.
We'll have to place this in a very special spot here.
It's pretty funny. He's got the guns out, double barrels, leaning on his putter. It's pretty funny.
Isn't this amazing? Did you realize when you were doing that, Happy Gilmore, that would be... something that would stick with you for the rest of your
career? No idea. I don't think anybody knows when they make a movie if it's going to, you know, have legs like this. When it first came out, it was a moderate hit, but now,
right,
people love it and quote it.
But it's neat that funny. You own this Shooter McGavin thing. Some other actors, I think, might not do that.
I enjoyed the movie. I was a joy working with Adam and Dennis Dugan, these wonderful writers, and, you know, it's just Judd Apatow was a co-writer, and these guys are, you know, comedy gold. So
right.
to be with them and to have this movie last as long as it has, it's opened a lot of doors up for me, you know, personally and
sure.
and then professionally. So it's just been a gas.
And did you come up with the shooting?
Yeah, I had no idea why they called him Shooter. Nobody told me anything, so I just started making putts and going, Shooter.
But the, so that was your your call.
That was my call. And the very funny thing about this movie, I told the story, but and forgive me if I've told you before.
It's
but
okay, go for it.
End of the movie. You know how I hate in a golf movie where they cut to the hole and the ball rolls in? I want to say, could you please let me make it? It's about a 32-footer. Mm-hmm. And it's not on a golf green. It's on a botanical garden. So he told me he'd give me like 7 tries. And that's try 5. And I lifted out twice. But people were betting. The crew was going, he's never going to do this. And so you see who your friend is. And when I put that baby in there and I did it, choke on that baby. And I just did that whole Shooter shimmy thing at the end.
That's amazing.
That's the one they left in the movie. And it's so freaking wrong.
Fantastic. Oh, having a lot of fun we are here on the Rich Eisen Show. Why not, indeed? Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I was out last week, headed east, just took a day. And then went up to Maine for a couple of visiting days.
Nice. How is Maine?
No, Maine is great. You're one of your adopted home states, would you say?
One of them, yeah, okay. For sure.
Or the one that I think you associate yourself with the most?
For the most, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You're,
my mom, my sister still live there.
And your cell phone has the area code.
I'm still 207.
Correct, sir. It's great. Until, you know, it's time to leave visiting day. And then... it's the long green mile.
Walking a mile.
Oh, my gosh.
Walking a mile.
That's right. That happened yesterday. That very same exchange with our daughter. But everything's good. Everybody's happy. Camps are great. It's awesome.
Nice.
But I missed some stories while being out of the chair.
Yeah, you did.
Got a top 5 right here. Ooh. Top 5 stories that I missed while I was gone. Hit it, please.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top 5.
All right, top 5 stories that I missed while I was gone and out of the chair. Go ahead and hit it. Number 5 is a story that we were kind of dancing around on that Monday before I left. So it was the 4 days I was out last week. Caleb Williams signed.
Hey.
He did sign. We were talking about he was unsigned going into training camp season. He said he wasn't handling that sort of stuff. There were other people that were handling that. Mm-hmm. But Caleb Williams signing on the dotted line... And kind of what it seems like, asking for a few shoot your shot type requests.
He was really going for it. I mean, you don't get what you don't ask for.
Right, I know, exactly right. So that is number 5 on the list that he did eventually sign. And everybody concerned that would he do something that no other draft picks had ever done before. It kind of went like, yeah, I'll go to the team that drafts me. And yeah, I'll go ahead and sign on a dotted line. And Caleb Williams is number 5 on this list that he signed on the dotted line. And it's just kind of normal, all good in the hood. And he's looking like he's going to play in the preseason.
He's got a crush.
I know.
He's going to be awesome.
It's ready. So that's number 5. Number 4 on this list. This guy's going to Springfield, Massachusetts one day in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Unless he's going to be traded to a Hall of Fame or get waived after being acquired by the Hall of Fame, because that's what seems to be happening all the time for Russell Westbrook. 5th time in 6 years he got traded.
Crazy.
The Clippers trade him to the Utah Jazz, and then they waive him. So that's number 4 on this list right now is Caleb Williams signs his 5. Number 4 is Russell Westbrook goes ahead and he's traded again.
And he might join the Nuggets now to maybe run their second unit. That's the missing piece that they needed this past year.
Right.
I don't know. Crazy.
So, number 3 on this list of my top 5 stories that I missed. For the first time in a long time, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game was better than the Home Run Derby the night before.
Game was tight.
Am I wrong? I mean,
the game was tight. It delivered on everything.
First of all, Skeen starts, right, which is great.
We got him versus Judge in the first inning.
Yeah. And he grounds out on the one pitch that he saw. Yeah. First pitch he saw, he grounds out.
Judge was not messing around. I'm swinging right away.
Then the third inning, top three, National League scores three. Bottom three, American League scores three. Those six runs in the third inning were more runs than the two previous games had. The two previous games, All-Star games, were 3-2 finals. We saw more runs in the third inning than we did in the 2023 All-Star game and the 2022 All-Star game. So you got to see it. And then, you know, your boy Duren hits a two-run shot in the fifth.
To be an MVP.
And then you saw the scoreless innings and all that sort of stuff. Sure. But still.
But we got the Stars doing star things. Ohtani homered, and the Red Sox have been super hot. They hit a homer. It was a really fun game. Loved it.
And so number two is a report.
Oh no.
And, you know, obviously, not to stray out of our lane here, you know, the big news over the weekend is Joe Biden stepping down. Perhaps he was inspired by Skip Bayless. According to the New York Post, Skip is stepping down from Undisputed.
Wow.
I don't know. Putting FS1 before country.
he's not seeking renewal.
That's what everybody thought he would do, but he's putting country before FS1.
Wow, good for Skip.
It's really what he's doing.
Good for Skip.
Doing it for the country.
That's good
for Skip. By stepping down from Undisputed.
Shannon is the combo here. Right. I'm confused.
And number one, the story that I missed, Brandon Ayuk wants to be traded. Here's what's not going to happen.
Get me out of here.
I mean, you've seen the fantasy football stuff. Well, hey, Devontae Adams wants out. So flip him to San Francisco and IU can go to Vegas. You didn't see that one?
No, that's fun.
Oh, yeah. That ain't happening.
That's fun.
Here's what's going to happen. The Niners and IU will either come to a deal or they will not. And then we will just see how deep into the season IU really wants to take this before he comes in and plays for a nice amount of money and tries to win a Super Bowl and then figure something out. But one thing I don't think the Niners are going to do right now is trade this guy. Right on the outset of a season where they truly need him to win a Super Bowl, which they can do with him. And it'd be tougher to do without him.
No doubt.
But that is the top story of the week that I missed.
One more.
Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
We'll get one more.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that. Hour three coming up right here on the program. Mike Florio, don't miss him. Here's number three. Pardon me. Here's the one more. Boy, do I hate the Major League Baseball All-Star uniforms. They're ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. They're so bad.
Absolutely ridiculous.
What an embarrassment.
And let me just tell, and I love, how much do I love Major League Baseball? Please, please, Rich. I am not buying these for my kids. I don't know of a kid that's going to say, Mom, Dad, can I get that softball league uniform? Can I get one of those, please?
Beer league jersey.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Bring back the old school when we were kids, all-star games where they wear their own uniforms. And it is fun seeing a guy in a Red Sox uniform throw to a Yankee in a Yankee uniform.
Somebody wears
it
the
is
white,
great to see a Cub and a Cardinal in their uniforms on the same field as opposed to being some sort of totally antiseptic team uniforms.
Totally agree. Rich, Rob Manfred has heard you, and he said that there's discussions, and it looks like it's going
to they've got to do it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants them. If you're trying to sell it to me to give to my kids to walk around what? At Halloween as some generic baseball player? Like, then maybe. Who are you? Yeah. Who are you today, Coop? Well, I'm a generic all-star. What are we doing?
I get it, man. If you want the uniforms, let them do them for the home run derby or something.
But hour
for
the three in the books, everybody.
Yeah. For the actual game?
Mike Florio coming up.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast.
Season four, I'm glad that it's over.
As we know now that season five is supposed to be one of our better seasons.
Obviously, the tattoo storyline, you know how I feel about that.
You hating that storyline brought me a lot of joy because I kept waiting to see how it was going to keep going and then how they would somehow settle it.
Binge seasons 1 through 4 of Talkville before season 5 begins, wherever you listen.